The Lord, I put this word in my heart this week. I kind of heard it in my spirit. I told Dad, I feel like I should share it again. I think I've maybe preached this maybe 15 years ago, 12 years ago, but I feel like it's a timely message for right now. The title of it is, Are You in a Position to Hear from God? And if we don't need to be in the right position in the day and age we live in now, more than ever, to hear what God is saying, with all the distractions that we have with, you know, the digital age and all the distractions going on with our government, all the distractions going on with our schools. And so we need to make sure that we are in the position God wants us in, the place he wants us in, so that we can be protected, so that we can hear what God's saying, so that we can move forward with God's plans for our lives. And we have to make sure that that clutter gets out. And that we're seeking God's face every single day more than ever. We've been pleading the blood on a daily basis. Not that we didn't, but we've been doing it even more. Over our family, over our children, over our property, over our finances, over our future, over words spoken out against us, against the body of Christ, against all that is good and holy, pleading the blood of Jesus, because nothing gets through the blood, church. It's painted on our doorpost, amen, in the spirit, to keep out the enemy, to keep out his plans and schemes. And although we may go through things, we come out victorious. Doesn't matter what the doctors say, what our boss says, what coworkers say, our families say. The battle's been won. Sometimes we have to fight the individual wars and the adversary, but the battle has been won already. And we have that because of the word of God. And because we were singing this morning, just because of a baby, still and small, that we can have all the promises that God gave us, amen? So let's just look about this story. We're gonna look at Samuel and Eli, and the story is, if you've ever been in Sunday school, you know this story, but it talks about, and the Lord had given me revelation and even some more this morning, just about being in a position to hear from God. And what I'm gonna give you in this outline works, because I'm standing here telling you that it works. And when you're in the position that God puts you in, no matter what it may be, ministry, layperson, housewife, house dad, businessman, student, it doesn't matter. When you apply the word of God to your life, God will open up doors that no man can open. He will also shut doors and keep you out of harm's way. If you apply what the word of God is telling us, and again, it's not, the word of God is not really that hard to understand, but it's hard to follow through with. Because every day our flesh, Nikki said it this morning so beautifully, and we've been talking to the young people about it, fixing our eyes upon Jesus. We've been talking about Philippians 4:8, where it says, what sort of things are pure and holy and a good report and wholesome and good. The Amplified says at the end of that, dwell on these things, and it says, fix your eyes, fix your gaze, focus in on them. Focus in. You know, if you have a young person, when they want something, boy, can they focus in on it really good. That's how the word of God has to be. We need to focus in on it and dwell on things that are pure and holy and of a good report and truthful. Amen. And so let's just read through this scripture verse. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. We're just going to read through this and we're going to go back over it. If you've never heard the story, we'll make sure you have. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. There was no frequent or widely spread vision. Now, I'll stop there quick. It had been 300 years since Moses heard the burning bush. We have the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I hear from the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, thank God. But the men of God back then, it was audible voices that they heard. Jesus had not come yet. He had not left us the Holy Spirit. So 300 years passes before God's audible voice is ever spoken again. But they never stopped serving God. They never stopped believing. Don't say, oh, I wish I could go back in the Old Testament. It was so much easier. Really? Have you ever wrangled a goat or a lamb in the backyard and had to slaughter and put it on a sack and kill it and sacrifice it? Anybody? Maybe the Van Voorst? Yes, that's about it. They know it's not fun, don't want to do it. Thank God we have a sacrificial lamb. We have the Holy Spirit. The veil's been torn. We have access to the Holy of Holies to hear the voice of the Lord for us every single day. So understand, in this story, it had been 300 years since the Lord had spoken audibly. That's how they heard the voice of the Lord, or they went to the prophets or the priests or the men of God. Verse 2, and at the time Eli was, whose eyesight had dimmed so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down. When the Lord called Samuel, he answered and said, "Here I am." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. The Lord called Samuel again, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You did call me." Eli answered and said, "I did not, my son. Go back to sleep." I've had these conversations with our children many a times. Go back to sleep. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. If he calls you again, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for I am your servant and is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Could you imagine? He's probably like, "Oh, he's got to call me one more time. Now I know what I'm going to do." Think about it for a second. Or it could have been pretty scary, too. You know, you hear, what's that noise? So he's waiting patiently. And the Lord came and stood as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then the Lord answered, Samuel answers, says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord told Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which ears of all who hear shall tingle." Verse 12, "And on that day I will perform against Eli and all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. And now I announce to him that I will judge and punish the house forever for the iniquity of which he knew. For his sons were bringing a curse upon themselves, blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned or purged with sacrifice or offering." Think about that, what he had to tell Eli, what he heard. "Oh, by the way, Eli, you and your house are in big trouble." He might want to say, "I'm going back to sleep now." Samuel lay until morning. I would have too. I said, "Yeah, you know what? I'm going to wait this one out. Maybe there's another word coming. Wrong house, wrong person." But he laid until morning, opened the doors of the Lord's house, and he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Pray, do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you're hiding anything from me at all." Because I think Eli knew. You know, Eli knew what was going on. He knew his sons were bad news, and he knew he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Verse 18, "And Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing. And Eli said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him.' Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and none of his words fell to the ground. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh through the word of the Lord." And so what we have to understand is, who does God choose to speak to? You know, we may have a preconceived idea of who God talks to, but God always seems to use those people, one, that don't really want to be used. You know, many times throughout, you know, ministry, and we've been, and pastors have been doing this for 50 years, and I grew up around the ministry, the people who hand you a card on Sunday morning and say, "I have a ministry," those are not usually the people that God uses. I can tell you that. It's those people that just have a heart to serve. I'll never forget the time Brother Andy, our piano player, I think he was probably here a while, 4 or 5 years, serving, ushering, you know, just serving in the house of God. I had no idea he could play the piano, none at all. He never told me, he never said anything. Until one day somebody said, "You know, Brother Andy can really rip it on the piano." And I said, "He can?" So I called him up and said, "Andy, how you doing?" I've had a relationship with Andy. We went to his church one time. He's from Queens, got all this furniture. I mean, I spent a lot of time with Andy, and he wasn't like, "Yo, by the way, when are you gonna let me play? You know, I'm really good." Andy also grew up in church his entire life, and knew that, and when it was time, that God would elevate him. And so, sure enough, we talked, and he came, and he's an anointed man of God, and he's faithful, and he serves the house of God. But God puts people in a position that he wants them to be in, and it's not always where we think we're supposed to be. And if you have a talent, and if you have a desire, and if you want to serve the house of God, in this outline, if that is your desire, to serve the house of God without any other alternative motives, God will elevate you. But a lot of time when people come in the house of God, they want right up on the stage. They want right up where people can see them. They want to have a job where they're recognized by man. I learned a long time ago, the best job you can have is one that's recognized by God. It's the people that help with the flowers and cleaning and setting up and are faithfully here late and here early. Those are the people that God truly blesses. And then you see them start to elevate and change positions. Why? Because their heart is true. And we're going to see in a minute that God doesn't always use those that we would think would be good candidates. just in a position to hear from God. Samuel was minding his own business. He was reverent. He was serving in the house of God. He didn't want to bring this word to Eli. Can you imagine what he felt like? But yet he did it. And so not only, we're not always candidates for promotion with what man thinks. Amen? But God has a different plan. So turn to 1 Samuel. I'm going to show you this quick when it comes to the anointing of David. So 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 12, God is interested in one thing, church, our heart attitude. We can judge no one. Do never judge a book by its cover. What is inside a man's heart? That's what God judges. Amen? And so that's what God's looking for when we want to see elevation. He's looking for where our heart attitude really is. So let's look at what this says, and we'll start with verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil. I'll send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' I invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I name to you." And Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. Probably because he's the one that told Eli, "Uh-oh, Samuel's coming. What word does he have from the Lord, right? Uh-oh, Paulie's preaching. What's he going to hammer us with this week?" Just bring in the word of God. I promise this is a good one. You'll leave here smiling. Amen. So he said, "Peace be, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves," verse 5, "and come with me to the sacrifice." And consecrated Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked at Eliab, I'll do my best with his names, the eldest son, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Look not on his appearance or at his height or at his stature, for I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for the man looks on outward appearances, but the Lord looks on the heart." Again, see, it's not about what we think on the outside. God uses those that maybe in the natural don't look favorable, but God sees what's in their heart. Jesse called Abinadab, good enough, and made him pass before Samuel. Samuel said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by Samuel, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then he said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And Jesse said, "There is yet the youngest. He's tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him, for he will not sit down to eat until he is here." Jesse sent and brought him to him, and David had a healthy reddish complexion and beautiful eyes and was fine looking. So he did look good on the outside, but he wasn't what his dad thought. Most handsome, the most tall in stature, had been around a while. But what was David doing? Very interesting. He's just doing his job. It wasn't like, "Ooh, the man of God's coming. Why can't I be there?" Maybe he, you know, think about, take the story and throw it into your own life. Maybe he was feeling left out. "No, you're the youngest. You go tend the sheep. I always miss out on everything. I never get to hear any of the family conversations. Why do I have to sit at the kids' table?" Think about all the stuff that was going around his head as a young man. "Here I am. I'm missing it out again." But the Lord never allows you to miss out on anything. And so here's David doing his job. That's the interesting thing. Not wavering from what he was told to do. Honoring his father. Doing what the Lord told him to do. He was fine looking. The Lord said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him." He's the one. It is he. What a shock his father must have thought. But God had a plan. And so David was chosen because his heart was pure and he wasn't seeking his own elevation. He was just willing to serve the Lord, and that's ultimately what moved God to choose him. And the key to the story is he chose to speak to someone who wasn't seeking promotion or elevation, just doing their job. Just doing what the Lord called him to do. I told Dad a long time ago that the Lord called me to be his armor bearer. You know, and if you, I'm not saying this to be a horn tutor, but there's a lot of pastor's kids that try to move the dad, mom and dad out of the way so they can take over. I am the complete opposite. I have chains hooked to Dad. I'm holding him down and saying, "You're not going anywhere. And I will do all the stuff behind the scenes that we need to do so that all you need to do is step out of those doors, bring the word of God, go back in the office, and repeat and do it again." Amen? Because I know that God has called me to preach. I know that God has called me to do things in the ministry, but in God's timing. And I love to be an armor bearer. I love to just take care of the house of God. I love to take care of my parents. I've learned a long time ago that honoring your mother and father brings a great blessing. And there's no greater honor than to serve your parents. And your parents who happen to be your boss and your pastor, that's a pretty good package deal there. But being in a position to hear from God is not overstepping until it's time for God to call you out. Is Dad going to live forever? No. I just hope Jesus comes back before he decides to go to be in heaven. But I know there's a time when the mantle will be turned over, and that's fine, but that's all in God's timing. And I've learned a long time ago never to push your way through. Like Pastor tells that story all the time, when he had a garden when he moved from New York City, and he couldn't wait to plant a garden. Believe me, I know, because I was there helping him. I didn't want a garden when I was a kid. But he would go in there, and he saw the plant coming through, the first one, and he moved all the dirt out of the way to help the plant grow, and he came out the next day, it was dead, because it didn't need any help. It wasn't time for it to come forth, and yet he thought he was helping it. God doesn't need our help to elevate us. God doesn't need our help to promote us. There's reasons why we don't see that promotion or that change or that elevation, but I'm here to tell you that when it's time, God will push you up and sit you where you need to be. And don't ever become complacent there. Continue to serve the Lord, and he puts you into another position. So just allow God to almost like bake you in the oven. And when sometimes when you bake things in the oven, they look good, and you open it up and you touch it too soon and it falls in. But it looked good. It looked like it was done. It's the same thing in our spirit. Don't rush God. All good things come to those who wait. Amen. And so allow God to elevate you in that time. Don't be looking for it. If you have a desire to do something, give it to the Lord. Make your request known. Ask the Lord if that's what you're supposed to be doing, and you will see God start to move on your behalf. Sometimes it takes weeks, months, years. It doesn't matter. But when you're in God's timing, it's good, and it works. Amen? So let's look at a couple things here. How do we make sure that we get our heart in a position to hear from God for our lives and to affect the people around us? This isn't going to be earth-shattering. It's going to be a lot of repetition. But until the church does this 100%, you're going to keep hearing it. That's the long and the short of it. Until we see everybody doing it and everybody moving us and see everybody reaching their full potential, we keep saying this over and over again. Why? Because it's in the Word over and over again. And that's why the Lord is repeating it, because he wants to say, it's like this, all of a sudden light bulb's going, oh, I got it, yep, that's me, I got to do that. Oh, I got it. Why didn't you get it 3 months ago, 6 years ago? Why all of a sudden? That's human nature. Think about how frustrating it is for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who sent his son to die sacrificially, and yet his people continue to do some of the stupid things over and over again. Does he ever stop loving us? Never. Never. Unconditional love. And when we finally get it, think about how excited he is. Yay! I think it's like a touchdown in heaven. Woohoo! He did it! Yay! Waiting for the next person to do it. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want to be a blessing to God and the kingdom of God. So go back to Samuel chapter 3. And this works, church. It works. When you're in a position for God to use you and you stay focused on that, God will use you mightily. And a lot of times it's not how we think, but then when we go through it, we're like, oof, that was fun. Well, that was great. Oh, God really used me. That's not how I thought he was going to do it, but the results were the same. It works. Amen. The first thing in verse 1, serving the Lord. You've heard us say this over and over again. If you're coming to Harvest Church and you've become a member and you're a member and you are not serving, naughty, naughty, naughty. It's not about coming to the house of God to hear and be full and leave and never give anything back. You are so blessed when you serve and serve other people. Jesus said it himself. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And there's such satisfaction in serving. Everybody has an opportunity to serve in the house of God, serve the local body. And in return, as you do that, God starts to open up doors for you. And the satisfaction is the greatest satisfaction you can have. So if you're coming to Harvest Church, serving is the best way to hear from God. In verse 1, in the first part, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. So he was in the house of God serving. He was sleeping when the Lord spoke to him. But where was he? In the house of God. He was serving. There's places that the church leadership can't go. Especially now in the day and age we live in, you don't have a badge, you're not going anywhere. You know, we went to see Melodies of Christmas that Nico's been singing in, and they have metal detectors going in there. You can't go anywhere and just walk in anywhere and say, I'm here to share the gospel. They'll probably tackle you, drag you out, arrest you, and take you away. But there's places that you all can go that have an ID badge, and you can go in there, and you can be a blessing in your marketplace. That's how we serve the Lord. But serving in the house of God is how we get that going. Oh, you know, they don't need anybody. They look like enough Sunday school teachers or greeters or drape ladies or pantry volunteers or in the prison ministry. The list goes on and on and on. If you're willing to serve, we'll find a place for you. And God will give you that desire to serve. So serving is so important to be in that position. That's what you hear from God. The satisfaction that you get from serving is amazing. Talk to some of our food pantry people. Is Carol here? Carol. And Sandy, when Sandy first started coming, she's like, this is amazing. Why didn't I do this earlier? I said, I don't know. Why didn't you? Why didn't I do this earlier? I don't know why you didn't do it earlier. I've been telling you to serve in the house of God. That satisfaction starts to grow. Then you start to see their faith grow. Then you start to see their confession change. Why? Because you're not hanging around with turkeys anymore. You're soaring with eagles in the house of God. Amen? Well, Donna might be a turkey sometimes, but... Or Donna packs turkeys. Let's just say that. No, Donna's a blessing. She's been coming to the pantry for many, many years. That's the first thing, serving the Lord. The second thing, serving in the house of God. Let's look at verse 3, and I kind of covered this a little bit. The lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down. And Pastor Bill Wilson many years ago talked about the man in the Bible, Obed-Edom, who said, I want to take the ark, I'll keep it at my house. I don't know if you ever remember that message. Why? Because Obed-Edom wanted to be as close to the presence of God as he could. The presence of God was in the ark. That's where it was. Obed-Edom wanted to be as close to the ark as he could. Why? He wanted to be around the presence of God. When we serve in the house of God, there's no better way to be in a position than to be involved in what's going on in the body of Christ. You know, we live in an age where technology, we can watch services and, you know, there's Facebook Live and you can listen to messages, but that doesn't replace the fact of being in the house of God. And as technology grows, you have to be careful. Oh, I'll just watch church in my pajamas. That doesn't work. Coming into the anointing, coming into the presence of God. You know, there's things that go on in churches that they don't put on TV. It's too much time. They're trying to get the gospel out. We're trying to get the gospel out, but how many things if you watch our television show or listen to it, what happened to that exhortation? What happened to this or that prayer line or those people running around? Why? There's all kinds of stuff going on within the service in the house of God, and you miss that when you're not serving in the house of God. To see God changed and transformed. So don't ever miss out by serving in the house of God. This is what Samuel was doing. He was in the house of God serving the Lord. He didn't have any preconceived plans. He just wanted to serve the prophet Eli, and that's what he was doing. The third thing, stay as close to the presence of God as you can. Samuel was lying close to the Ark of the Covenant as he could, and the Ark which carried the presence of God in verse 3b. It said, where the Ark of God was, Samuel was there lying down. Probably wasn't cold in there, was it? That's probably some heat coming off that thing, huh? But he wanted to be as close to the presence of God as he can. And like I just said, being in the house of God, coming to the altar, having opportunities for the Lord to speak, just the little exhortation that Nikki gave you, I can guarantee you that's not going to be on television or radio. But I can guarantee you it blessed some of you in here that heard her say that. And so don't miss being in the presence of God. That wasn't pre-planned. I know for a fact that when she walked up here, she was trying to just get through the announcements. And I know for a fact that when she was walking up here, she was probably saying, God, just let me get through the announcements. Don't let anything happen. But as soon as you step up into the anointing, as soon as you step up into the presence of God, and you just say, okay, God, use me, all this stuff starts to come up. Rivers, we sang it this morning, rivers of living water just welling up and coming out of us. Amen? And that's what happens when we're full of the Word. So we must live our lives with this key point in mind. Wherever the presence of God is, that's where I want to be. Now, does that mean it's just in church? No. This is where we get our charge, our rekindling, where we get some exhortation. You know, sometimes we need to come into the house of God. We need God to just touch us. We've had a rough week. Some things are going on. Physically, we could be struggling. So we want to get in the presence of God. That should be our desire. Church doors are open. I want to get there. And how many of you got that dumb alert on Wednesday night and your phone went off, Paula? Right? No, you're not the only one. Trust me. Squall warnings, blinding snow. A lot of people call it, I just can't make it out. Well, that's how the enemy works. I'm not saying if you didn't come, it was the wrong thing to do, but that's how the enemy works in our mind. He tries to keep us out of the house of God. It could be squall warnings. It could be throwing up kids. It could be staying late at work. All these things the enemy tries to do, and they're legitimate reasons to keep us from coming to the house of God. But when we push through those things, how many of you come to church, maybe not feeling well or tired from work, and you push through and you come into the anointing of God, how do you feel? Why did I even doubt? Why did I even not push through? And so the enemy's constantly trying to work us to keep us out from the presence of God. And we have to push through that in any way that we can. Amen? So Galatians 5:16, and Paul, I'm just kidding you. My mom almost stayed home. Squall warning, she called me. Do we have to cancel church? My phone's going off like crazy. I'm like, no, mom, you're fine. You lived here your whole life. Get in your car and drive to church. Dad'll drive you. So that's why we have four-wheel drive. It's really getting worse. When I was a kid, we'd get a foot of snow and school wouldn't close. Now for 3 inches, a winter weather advisory is up. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's 3 inches of snow. And then everybody buys food for 5 weeks, like Walmart's not going to be open an hour after the snow stops. 1 hour after the snow stops, the roads are bone dry. They do a wonderful job plowing. Brother Dan was a plow driver. You can survive. But what is the world constantly doing? Just fear and scary and worry and anxiety. But we're Northeasterners puffing up. You can get through this. Look, tomorrow's another day closer to spring. Amen? Today's 1 minute longer sunlight than yesterday? I'll take it. Yeah, believe me, 1 minute is good enough. I'll be looking out the window going, there's my extra minute. Thank you, God. Nikki's friend who lives in Georgia called her, what was that, Thursday morning? Oh my God, you're on the national news. It's negative 12 up there. Are you guys okay? So what? It's cold. Put a jacket on. We're fine. My phone's telling me hypothermia in 30 minutes if you don't cover up. I'm like, how did we ever survive without technology making us worried? Am I telling the truth? This is what the world's trying to do. And what are they trying to do? Fear, worry, anxiety, keep you out of church, getting you to confess bad things, things that are not true. So just push through it. I don't want to see everyone ever miss for a snow squall again. Amen? If you come to your house, we'll get the truck and pick you up. So Paula, that was all for you. It's fine. We were just kidding. Galatians 5:16. It's okay to laugh in church. Amen? All right. Galatians 5:16, about keeping our personal time with the Lord, our devotion time, to be in a position to hear from God around the presence. Verse 16 of Galatians 5. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Spirit. Responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. If we're not living and walking in the Spirit, what are we controlled by? Every minute of every day. We don't want to do what we don't want to do. I said it before, if you fixate on something that you want, you're going after it. Whatever it is, good or bad, we fixate on it. So we need to be controlled, responsive to, and guided by the Holy Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh of human nature without God. So if we take a closer look at this, the word walk in the Greek actually means this, around or something encircling, as it carries the idea of movement of feet to walk or step in stride. So walk in the Spirit actually can be translated. This is what Paul is trying to say when he said habitually walking. It's like walking in one general vicinity. It can be translated to say live in the Spirit, which carries the idea of someone who has walked in one region for a long time. It becomes his environment, his place of daily activity, his path, the place where he habitually lives and functions. The best example of this, if you've ever known someone that's blind, and in their own environment, they can move around their house amazingly. Why? They know the environment from habitually knowing where everything is. Now, to be mean, if you put something in the middle of the room, what's going to happen? They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. That's what the enemy tries to do to us. Put things in front of us when we need to say, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be there. Get it out of the way. And when we habitually live according to the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit of God, we immediately see when things are out of place. And it immediately changed our outlook and say, you know what? I want God to speak to me. I need to be walking and living according to the Spirit, because the flesh every day is going to get you to go in the opposite direction. Many of times we talk to people and they say, I don't even know how I got here. But if we peel away some of the layers, it starts with not being in the Word on a daily basis. It comes from not praying and talking to God on a daily basis. It comes from not only hearing the word and reading it, but applying it to their lives. When we start peeling back the layers, when you don't live and walk habitually in the Spirit, that's when the flesh starts to come in. That's when the flesh starts to put these obstacles in your way where you're tripping and falling. And a lot of times we don't move it. We go around it. Instead of dealing with the issue and say, wait a minute, I don't want to keep tripping over this. Let's get this out of the way. Let's deal with this. So staying as close to the presence of God, walking and living habitually according to the Spirit, allows us to be in that position for God to speak to us. Amen. I'm going to read you a new translation of what Paul was actually saying in this verse. It says, make the path of the Spirit the place where you habitually walk and live. Become so comfortable on the spiritual path that you learn to leisurely and peacefully stroll along in that realm. Living your life in the spirit realm is the best way to guarantee that you will not allow the yearnings of your flesh to creep out and fulfill themselves. You know, the Bible says in James that the Lord cannot tempt us. So who is it? No. What does the Bible say? It's us. Our own desires, our own cravings, our own flesh is what causes us to stumble. And when you give into that, what does it create? All at one time, youth group?
Sin babies.
Sin babies. That's what it says. Lust and temptation gives birth to sin. So now you have a little sin baby to take care of. Why? God's not giving you those desires. It's our own natural desire. Pastor says all the time, we pray for to rebuke the devourer. That's usually us. Our spending habits can devour our finances, not being good stewards of our money, not serving correctly in the house of God, not giving of our tithes and offerings, not speaking correctly. We're our own devourer. And we need to get things in line. And the best way to do that is what Paul was saying. Live habitually, peacefully strolling along. We can have peace walking through this crazy world that we live in just by allowing ourselves to follow the things of the Spirit and not give in to the flesh. Amen? A couple more. Let's go back to Samuel. Verses 4 through 9 in this chapter. It says, when the Lord called Samuel, he answered him and said, here I am. And we go through this over and over again. Skip to verse 9. He says, it's me. He goes to Eli. But Eli says to him in verse 9, so Eli said to Samuel, go and lie down. If he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for I'm your servant, listening. So Samuel went and lied down in his place. We must know the Lord and have a relationship with him so we recognize his voice. Ever heard me say this before? A lot of times. I know my wife's voice. I know my children's voice. I know my mom's voice. I know my dad's voice. I know when they're mad. I know when they're happy. I know when they're sad. How is that possible? Relationship. That's how it's possible. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, you're not in the house of God serving him. You're not putting him first. You're not seeking him first. You're listening to other things. Your relationship becomes frayed. You know, if you haven't seen somebody for a long time, you don't know what they've gone through, that relationship starts to have a gap in it. It's not the same as it used to be. That shouldn't take place in our relationship with the Lord. Have a relationship with God. Relationship and knowing him intimately is what will cause him to speak to us on a daily basis. In verse 7, if you go up, it says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not revealed to him yet. So with Samuel, it wasn't time for him to know the Lord yet. He was serving the man of God. But here's where his relationship started. One of the reasons why it took him so long to get it was he didn't have that relationship with the Lord like Eli did. Eli would have known immediately that it was the Lord. It took Eli a few minutes to realize what was going on. And then he said, hey, the Lord's trying to tell you something. And the reason why Samuel was missing is because he didn't have a relationship yet. It wasn't time for him to have that. It's time for us right now to have that relationship with the Lord. For no other reason, church, than we don't know what 10 minutes from now holds. We don't know what crazy things going on in the world, and we certainly don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I can tell you it's sooner today than it was yesterday. Amen. And so it's no time to fool around with, well, you know, I love the Lord, and, you know, I'll start giving things up when the time comes. No, seeking first the kingdom of God on a daily basis, putting the Lord first now, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You go to the mall, people are shooting things up, natural disasters are taking place all around the world. It's all in the Word of God. It shouldn't be a surprise. But what it should do is kick us in the rear end to say, hey, I need to make sure my relationship is strong and right with the Lord. And again, what I started in the beginning was, more than ever, we need to really be in a position to hear from God. Because with all the craziness, one wrong step in the world is causing way more consequences than it did 10 years ago. The consequences, especially for the body of Christ, and a lot of times the body of Christ looks at the world and says, well, they're getting away with it. Yeah, because they're not, the devil knows he's got them. They're not, he doesn't care. He's got plenty of time to allow them to fall off the cliff. But us is those one opportunities, is those one fleeting moments where we give into the flesh, or we give into that ungodly confession, or we stop serving, or we stop giving. It's that one opportunity the devil's like, now I got to grab them. And that's why you see believers having consequences way faster than the world. Because the enemy knows the world's not going anywhere. They're happy doing all their junk. The devil knows he's got plenty of time. So when we start doing the right thing, what are we really doing? We're taking the devil's time away from him, because to people that he thinks that he has plenty of time to destroy, if we're doing the right thing, we're going out to snatch them right back into the kingdom of God, where he's like, whoa, I thought that person was serving me for eternity. Why are they serving the Lord now? Why are they in the house of God? Why did they accept Jesus? I thought I had him. Why? Because we as the body of Christ are doing the right thing, and we're going out and snatching them. Amen. And picking them out. Amen. My son Anthony wanted a dog. Again, said no pets. So he bought a chameleon. And now the chameleon's home, and we're taking care of the chameleon. I didn't want any pets or reptiles in the house. But now we have a chameleon. His name is Donnie. And you feed him. And they're amazing creatures. They change colors. But the coolest thing is how he eats. And I'm saying this because of what I always said. You hold out something on your hand, whatever. His eyes go in two different directions. And he sees that thing moving. He comes out of the thing. And his tongue snaps and grabs it right out of your hand. I mean, far. Snap, just like that. And that's what I picture us doing in the spirit, that that poor worm had no idea. It was trying to get away, and the next thing you know, it's in its mouth. But the enemy's trying to keep his people deceived, trying to keep us from doing our job, and we can be like a spiritual chameleon that goes out and goes and snatches people out of the grips of hell in Jesus' name. Just by doing what God's telling you to do, just by having that relationship. Oh, they're never going to listen to me. Oh, they always laugh at me or make fun of me. Just keep wearing them down. Just keep doing what God's calling you to do. And before you know it, you snatch them out of the grips of the enemy, and the enemy doesn't want that. So turn the tables on the enemy and habitually have this relationship with the Lord that we have in salvation. You know, we pray all the time in the pantry as we give food in the natural, we pray that the revelation of the spiritual food that we have to offer would come alive in the people. And nobody who's hungry in the natural is going to listen to a word you have to say about spiritual food. But when you're handing them food, you can be amazed at how open they are. We just had a lady who came in. She walked in the doors. As soon as she walked in the door, she started crying. I was just bringing food out to her. It was before you had come in, Carol. She came early. As soon as she walked in the door, she just looked at me and she started crying. And I said, we're going to pray. Went and got Nikki. We were able to pray with her. Why? We're giving her natural food for Christmas, and then we're saying, but here's something so much better that will sustain you, that will help you in this time of tragedy and devastation for the families that are involved. And so that's what we're to do in the body of Christ, is to offer spiritual food, and that only comes when we have that strong relationship with the Lord. Well, we can stand strong and say, hey, I've been through this. This happened and God pulled me through. And this happened and God pulled me through. I'm a testimony for God healing me of cancer, or ripping me out of the world of addiction, or changing my life when no one cared about me. That's what we have to have focused to stay in this position for God to use us. And it starts with that relationship with the Lord. Have that strong relationship with him. Two more. How many are getting something this morning? Amen. Amen. Verses 10 and 11. We must be willing to listen to God. 10 and 11. And the Lord came out and stood and called as the other times, and Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The Lord told Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of all who hear shall tingle. So we must be willing to listen to the Lord. Make sure we're listening to what God's saying and not just ignoring what he's saying. You know, I say it all the time to be funny. I have to get the kids to focus when I'm saying something. But spiritually, we're the same way. We read the word of God. I'm like, oh, God, that's awesome. And then 5 minutes later, we forget what we're reading, what God spoke to us that day, because we get caught up in these distractions, or sometimes you may hear a word and say, I don't want to deal with this. Think about what Samuel just got this relationship with the Lord. 300 years, nobody's ever talked to the Lord. Now it says the Lord came and stood before him and talked to him. And he's saying, oh, by the way, the word I'm going to give to you, all of Israel is going to be pretty scared about it. All of Israel is going to be changed about it. I'm going to anoint a new king. I'm going to bring some change. My people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And so think about it. It might have been scary for Samuel to hear this, but he was obedient. He was willing to listen to what God was telling him to do. You know, sometimes God challenges us a little bit. How many of you like a challenge? Wow, nobody? How many like to go do a good jigsaw puzzle? There, Steve. My son Nico loves jigsaw puzzles. Do a project, put something together. You know, you like a challenge that way. I don't mean a challenge like go witness to your entire office building tomorrow, and if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. I'm talking about a challenge where you fix something, you do something. Half of you, all right. But we like a challenge to complete something. We like a challenge to say, okay, I have satisfaction of completing a task. And so we have to be willing to listen to the Lord so we can complete all that he's telling us to do. Sometimes it takes a little, you know, it takes some time. You have to take some extra time. You have to get the right tools. There's things that God tells you to do, but we have to be willing to listen to the Lord so that he can give us this vision that he has for us to move forward. The last one, we must be obedient to God. 15 through 19. Samuel laid until morning. He opened the doors of the Lord's house. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called Samuel and said, my son. And he answered and said, here I am. And Eli said, what is it that he told you? Pray, do not hide it from me. May God do so to you. And more also, if you're hiding anything from me at all. And Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing. And Eli said to the Lord, let him do what seems to be good to him. And Samuel grew. The Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. So we must be obedient to what God has spoken us to do and never be afraid of delivering his word. When God speaks to us, we must allow follow through with what he commands us, and that it will cause us to grow in the things of the Lord. And so, you know, sometimes it's not always words that are great to be delivered, but we have to be obedient. You know, sometimes you have to correct your children or have a conversation with, you know, family meeting or a message with your spouse. Or as the body of Christ, the leaders have to tell you something to bring some change to the situation. Although sometimes it's uplifting. You know, sometimes it's a blessing. You know, and we all want to hear those words. When your brother Ted comes or somebody's given a prophecy, everybody wants that special word that talks about how they're going to be a millionaire or how God's going to, you know, change their life or give them this and all that. But sometimes there's a word that comes, hey, you need to really change this confession you've been making. You need to change this situation in your household. You need to really stand up and dig in my word more. You really need to pray some more. You really need to go ask pastor, how can I serve the house of God more? Sometimes there's words like that. And let me tell you, they're way more satisfying than getting those words that, you know, that we want to hear. Because it goes back to pushing through something and saying, you know what? I'm going to have a result for what God's telling me to do. And that's satisfying. When you see somebody's life change by being obedient. What we can learn from both David and Saul, and the worship team can come up if they want, is that God is just looking for, number one, people with a desire to be used by God. So have that inner desire to say, I want to just be used by God in whatever capacity. Again, sometimes we have an idea of where we think we want to be used, but sometimes God has a different idea for us. But when we follow in his footsteps and we're in his will, it's a great satisfaction that we get. The next one, the willingness to follow through with serving God. So you hear the message this morning. God may be pulling on you or pulled on you many a times to do something, change something, serve in the house of God in a different way. We got to follow through with that. The next thing is to be obedient to whatever God is asking from us. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And in the middle of the word obedience is what word?
Die.
Die. What really does that mean? Dying to ourselves and what we want. And again, you know, church, God doesn't ask us to do anything that we can't handle. That's not good for us in the long run, and that does not bring blessings back upon us. The last thing, the faithfulness to follow through with his plan. You know, faithfulness to follow through. Many, many times over the years, we've had people say, you know, I'm going to be with you for, you know, I'm going to serve here forever. I'm going to support the radio and television on a monthly basis. And it lasts for a little while and then starts to wane off. It's not there anymore. Where's so-and-so? Oh, you know, they're not, they're busy. They're doing this. You know, I said it the last time I preached, God's not going to tell you to do anything against the word of God. He's certainly never going to tell you to stop serving. He may change where you serve, but he'll never tell you to stop serving. Amen. That's against the word of God. He's always going to have you doing something for the body of Christ. And so faithfulness to the ministry, to pastors, to your family, to those around you, to the unsaved around you, be faithful to them. If we would just let God be God in our lives and stay obedient to his word, we would get ourselves into far less trouble and find ourselves walking with a greater peace and favor every day. Just let God do what he needs to do. Stay in a position for God to speak to you. And again, it goes all the way back to the example Jesus gave us. God sent his son as a man so that we could see a man, not a spirit being, not a God standing above us, but a man, a son, a brother, a carpenter. To see a man with the example of how to live and how to serve everybody around them. And again, in this world we live in, when you serve, man, do you stick out like a sore thumb. When you're kind, man, do you stick out like a sore thumb. When you do something beyond the scope of what you're supposed to do, man, do you stick out like a sore thumb. Because the world does just enough to get by, and whatever they do has to have some benefit to them. But we serve a greater God that no matter what we do, we are planting seed in the ground for our future, for our heavenly mansions in heaven, for our future children and spouses and everybody that comes after us. We're planting that seed in the ground to bring a harvest upon them. You know, pastors have laid a great inheritance for Jamie and I. And you know what? We're laying an even better one for our children. And then our children should be laying a better one for their children. And it's the cycle that we keep planting and serving and sowing and planting and serving and sowing. The Bible says in Genesis, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. We go through winter to have spring, to have summer, to have fall, to have winter. It's a cycle that no politician can ever change, that no man could ever change or make anything work. That's how it works. Do you see the birds worrying about spring? They're out doing their thing. Do you see the critters on the ground worried about it? Nope, they know when spring comes, they'll have more to eat. When the squirrels have the bushy tails this time of year, we know winter is going to be longer. They got to stay warmer. I told you that secret a while ago. God's creation just keeps going. Nothing new under the sun. And so that has to be our goal in our relationship with the Lord and serving, is just putting our hand to the plow and staying faithful to it. Amen. Everybody just bow your heads as we close in prayer. We don't need to pick the chairs up, which is good, but we have altar time. If it's your first time at Harvest, we always just open the altars at the end. Just if you want to come after hearing this message, if you want to talk to the Lord, if you want to repent, if you want to seek the face of God, this is your opportunity. We work the altar at Harvest Church. We allow the altar to be open where the presence of God is. Like I said, when Nikki came up, she just stepped into the anointing and spoke what God told her. Just coming to the altar, it's not just a 4-foot stage with carpet. It's the altar of God where the presence of God is emanating from. Amen. If you need some time, we take the time to allow that to happen. But as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to take this opportunity. If you're in Harvest Church this morning, and it goes back to one of the things I said about Samuel, he hadn't had a relationship yet with the Lord to hear him. But because a baby was sent at this time of year to be born of a virgin, to become the man that's the ultimate sacrifice, the purified lamb, so that we could have life, so that we could live. The Bible says Jesus came, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through him. Serving, that's a part of being a believer. Giving, that's a part of being a believer. The fruits of the Spirit, that's a part of being a believer. That's all works. But no works can get us into heaven or give us access to the throne of God. Just accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, saying, I am a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what the grace message is for those that are trying their best to serve God, but they keep getting caught in this rut or keep going back to that sinner, keep being enticed and drawn away. God's grace is on them because the Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But it has to start with that relationship. So maybe you've asked Christ into your heart a long time ago, or maybe you've never done it. It's that confession of faith to say, I am a sinner. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe that you gave your life for me. Come and live inside of me. come and dwell inside of me. You're gained access into the Lamb's Book of Life where you'll spend eternity with the Lord. Then you start serving. Then you start living for Christ. Then you start sowing. Then you start becoming a blessing for those around us. That's all part of being a believer, but you have to take that first step. If that's you in this place and you've never asked Christ to come in your heart, or maybe you need to rededicate your life, maybe you need to make it right. Maybe the Lord's crying out to you like Samuel and you're just not hearing him because there's no relationship. You can't hear through the clutter. You can't hear through all the noise. And we need to get that quietness and that relationship where as soon as the Lord speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, you hear. If that's you in this room and you want to ask Christ to come in your heart or rededicate your life, I just want you to come forward. I just want you to step forward. We're going to pray with you, and we're going to send you with this couple over here that's going to get you started or rekindle your life with the Lord. If that's you in this place, we take this opportunity every time we're together to reach out to those that have not accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You're not joining Harvest Church. You're not joining a religion. It's a personal one-on-one relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with the Creator of the universe, with the man who has the entire world in his hands. And then we get you started on your relationship with the Lord. Then we get you involved in the local body. But it's not about coming and joining a church. It's about that personal relationship with Jesus. If that's you in this place, one more minute. If that's you, come forward. Don't leave this place. You never know what's going to be waiting for you when you walk out those doors, church. The rich young ruler said, I should have listened. I should have listened. I should have listened. It was too late. He had already gone to hell. Let me go back and tell everybody. Let me go back and warn them again. This is a warning. This is a cry. This is for us to say, here's an opportunity, because you don't know the next opportunity you may have. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the word, Father. We thank you that we strive every day, Father, to stay in the position where we can hear from you, a fresh word from heaven, a fresh word from the throne room of God to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to allow us to be a blessing to all those around us who may be dying and brokenhearted and lacking, Father. Let us just be in a position to continually hear what you're speaking to us for our own lives, for our families, for our future, God, for those that we come in contact with a daily basis, Father. We see blessings upon this congregation as everybody's getting ready to celebrate Christmas and be with family, the opportunities that we have with maybe unsaved family members or the unlovely that no one wants to talk to or be around. We thank you that our light will shine brightly for you, Father, at this time of the season. And Father, never let us forget that because your Son was born and became that perfect spotless lamb, we can have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the service. I cover the congregation in the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus around every doorpost, around every vehicle, around every bank account, around every child, around every spouse, around every loved one. We just plead the blood of Jesus all around them, that the death angel and the plans and schemes of the enemy will never come across our door, that the devil will go running when he sees that blood and when he senses the blood that was paid for by your Son's death, Father. We thank you for that blood, and we plead it over us every single day, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Be blessed. If you want to spend some time at the altar, feel free to. Have a Merry Christmas if we don't see you.